the heart, if we take the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created such an organ, the heart, that the heart, if it is pure and clean, if it becomes pure and clean, then such a great thing it becomes, the heart, such an important organ it becomes, such an important element, that you see the reflection of the state of the iman of a person, and you see the signs of the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that person, and it becomes a great treasure and an asset for that person. And if the same heart is impure, if the heart is dirty, impure and not clean, then it will emanate smell, bad effect, a stench, and it becomes like a mound of dirt and a mound of impurity. It becomes the pillar of impurity. So purity makes a person azeem, great, and impurity destroys a person. It takes a person down. And this heart is very sensitive. It is very sensitive and it absorbs what's around. And you have to extremely carefully, cautiously look after this heart and the state of the heart. We need to save ourselves from spoiling the state of our heart. We have to protect it, preserve it, look after it, secure it. Because the dirt of the heart, one splash of dirt from the heart, if we speak about, and the rest of it, well, we'll see what happens then. If we take one splash of dirt, impurity from the heart, which is less than a dharra, less than the particle, if it's less than the particle, impurity, if it's present in the heart, even if you have less than a particle, a speck of dust, an atom's weight, then what will be the hal, the condition of that person who has less than a particle's weight of impurity in the heart? In the hereafter, that woman, that man will be raised in such a way on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of Hashr, that their bodies will be in the human form, human as if you look at them, but their external form will have taken the appearance of an ant, a chunti, you know, the ant, the little insect. So the human face will be visible within the form, the body of an ant, of an insect. And every person will see that person who will be suffering due to that one sin, which is the particle's weight of impurity that was in the heart. Imagine this. Imagine this. So due to that sin, due to that dirt, that person will be kept in that state. And they will be dragged around. They will be treated in this way, not towards a normal Jahannam, but there will be a separate jail or imprisonment or cell for those people. Surur. And a cell within Jahannam. And they will be dragged or pushed into that corner of Jahannam in that jail. And the angels will say to them, come here to this place. And when they are imprisoned in the jail within Jahannam, then can we imagine what will be the hal? That look, the people of Jannah, when they enter into paradise, when they enter and they will be given the reward, they will be given an invitation to a feast, there will be a special fish and they will eat the liver of that fish. They will enjoy it. And here the people of impurity in the heart, due to the sin of the impurity in the heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? So just the dharra, yes, the heart, the impurity in the heart, less than the particle's weight. So they will be sent to the jail within Jahannam, and the first fish that they will be presented with will be the pus that will be, the pus that emanates from the private organs of the people of hellfire. They will be given that to drink in the feast. Yes, and this is due to the sin of the dirt, the impurity in the heart. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, relates a hadith, narrates a hadith, that if a person in his heart has dharra, a particle's weight of kibr, how much? A particle speck of weight, atom's weight of kibr, this will be his conclusion, and he will never enter into paradise. So this, my brothers, the heart, our life, we have the unique form, the unique organ, the heart, and we never pay attention to the heart, that what diseases are present within the heart. the diseases that are present within the heart, they will reach to the conclusion of the punishment that has been mentioned. The punishments for the diseases of the heart have been mentioned. Now let's take one disease, illness called kibr, arrogance and pride. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran. Innahu la yuhibbul mustakbirin. Allah ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran that, O people, that if you walk around in the world big-headed, arrogant and pride, don't walk around like this. Allah ta'ala has mentioned a position, kibr. This is the hal of the person who is kibr. The big head, fussiness, showing off and looking down at people. For what reason? Because kibr is present within that person. Allah ta'ala has given somebody a speciality, a special quality, and that person's drowned in his special quality. Anything, Allah can give different qualities. Allah has given beauty, jamal, wealth, money, lots of children, health, power, energy, happiness, anything that Allah Ta'ala has given in the world, a person then becomes arrogant and thinks and becomes haughty. And if you don't protect the heart from the impurities, then kibr will come into the heart. Arrogance and pride and showing off, in the conclusion of kibr we've just discussed. So let's see here. We have to think about this. We need to reflect. We need to ponder over these points, that do we have these maladies in our hearts? That if we have kibr equivalent to one dharra, particle's weight in the heart, what will be the conclusion? But if we control the kibr, if we control it, then the other angle will come. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu narrated that the person within, if within him he has humbleness, the opposite. Either you have kibr or you have humbleness, tawaza. If you are humble and meek, then Allah Ta'ala will elevate you. The more the person who has kibr becomes wretched, in the same way the person who is humble and sincere, who has tawaza, Allah Ta'ala elevates that person to a high state. What is tawaza? So we've explained what is kibr, pride and arrogance. And opposite to that is humbleness. So if you're proud on something, you're fakhr on something, then there are two things here to understand that if you got kibr. If you want to know that, do I have pride within me? Do I have arrogance within me? Then there's a sign for this. So the first thing, the first sign of arrogance and pride is that it rejects the haqq, the truth. Doesn't accept the truth. He doesn't want to accept it. He rejects and becomes arrogant and puts the obstruction up. And the second sign of the person with kibr is that that person considers himself higher and others lower. Others lower. If Allah Ta'ala has given him a quality and that other person doesn't have that quality, then he starts looking down at that person. I've got this, you haven't got this. This thought, this thought. Look here, the heart is very sensitive and it catches these points. Inshallah, for example, I'm this, he's this person isn't this. I've got this, he hasn't got this. I'm like this, he isn't like that. So look here how minute we think these points are, but they're not minor. Oh, I've got this quality, I'm better in this way, and this person is wrong. And he starts questioning that person or looking down at that person. This is kibr. Not to accept the haqq. Look at haqq. I'll give you a normal example, common example. If you say to somebody that, look, you don't pray salah, pray salah. Oh, go, I've seen many people pray. Don't tell me about praying. Look at those people, they're not good. What's left in prayer? No. Finished. That person will be finished. If you say, look, fast, brother, oh, forget fasting, I don't need to fast. Just common examples, he's gone. That person's gone from the deen. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnah, if you explain to somebody about a sunnah, a formula, oh, forget this, what's this backward talk you're talking about, 1400 years old actions, where is it written, this sunnah? Why do I have to follow this sunnah? The ulama, the respected scholars have written, that person becomes a disbeliever when he utters such statements. He comes out of the fold of iman, but he's walking around the world. Oh, I'm the best, I'm a good Muslim, I'm sincere, I'm good. So how many of these thoughts are in the mind and the heart of a person, and Allah Ta'ala can assist for them to be eliminated? But this is the storm that brews within the hearts of the people. This is kibr, arrogance and pride. Look at Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I've given you examples of kibr in the Quran. Big examples Allah Ta'ala has given in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala said, look at Fir'aun. What did Fir'aun have? He had the quality attribute of kibr. And when he saw, he knew the shan of the Lord. He said that if the children were born, 70,000 male babies were slaughtered because he was afraid. They heard the news that the Prophet is to come. Allah Ta'ala says, the way you are killing the children, then Musa will be reared in your own home. This is the example Allah Ta'ala gave. The person who has kibr and pride, and Allah says, your plan, O arrogant and proud person, because you think you're elevated, Allah Ta'ala says that me, I am the Rabb, I am the Khaliq, I will make you dhalil, wretched. That Allah Ta'ala says, the person who is humble and sincere, he cannot be wretched. Allah Ta'ala has elevated that person. So this is the condition of the heart and the disease of the heart. That if we don't protect and look after the heart and don't think about it, pay attention to it, then this, the ibadat and worship and physical actions we do, you think they will save us from the punishments? And this is what we call tazkiyah, the whole subject of tazkiyah, the practice of tazkiyah, purification. The person needs to learn to control his heart and recognize these maladies. Don't look down at anyone. Don't consider somebody below you. Don't think somebody is worse than you. Don't think somebody is bad. If Allah Ta'ala has given you a ni'mah, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's fadl and His grace and His gift to you. So this is the first lesson of tasawwuf. Remember this. This is the first step that the person has to tread on. Yes, it's the first lesson sabak is given, that create tawaza, humbleness within you. Create humbleness and sincerity within yourselves. In no way, whatever place Allah Ta'ala takes to your iman level, your piety, your taqwa, but always remember that this is Allah's grace, Allah's favor. Allah, you're the one who gives and you're the one who takes. Allah, Allah, you favored me. Allah, nothing is mine. It's not my achievement that I can take this or I should be like this. No, Allah, it's you who've made me like this. The big stories about the people of kibr, Allah Ta'ala has given them the consequences and the conclusions. So when we do the dhikr of Allah, when we remember Allah, and when we start to go and travel towards tazkiyah, then always keep a plan in mind and do muhasabah and reflection and self-analysis, and keep delving into the heart, that what disease do I have in my heart? And the biggest one to start with is kibr. Kibr, pride and arrogance. Don't look down at anyone. Don't criticize anybody. Don't consider them so lover. Not that, it's not always that the rich man is mutakabbir or the wealthy man. Even the poor man can be mutakabbir. Even the poor person can be proud and arrogant. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah said a beautiful point, a unique point. That you know the people, you know who, the rubbish collectors or refuse collectors, that for example he says, you don't know how to do this, how to clean, I'm the better person, you don't know how to clean. So even the cleaner, even the refuse collector can have pride and kibar and arrogance. So in any sector of life, never consider yourself good or better than other people, because this is kibar. And the punishment in the hereafter, we've just mentioned a little bit of it, may not happen. So if a person has a doubt that have I got kibar, or do I think I'm better, do I think I'm greater than others, I'm higher, then straight away cure the problem. Bow down. Humble yourself. The person that you think you're better than, and then you're arrogant, go and grab his shoes and his feet straight. And don't worry. Even if you think that the issue is in there, still you got kibbutz. Anything that you think you're better, no. Straight away. Never consider yourself you got a kamal or quality in any sector of life better than another person. Hazrat Rafa'i Rahmatullah Ali, great wali of Allah, great generation. Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah was there, present. And there was another wali, Hazrat Shah Surwardi Rahmatullah. Hazrat Ahmad Rafa'i was also there. And he went to present himself at the Rawda, at the blessed grave of the Prophet ﷺ. He was such a wali of Allah that when he gave salam, then the Rasulullah's blessed hand came out from the rawda, and he, everyone was there, and he did ziyara of Rasulullah ﷺ, the blessed hand. And then in his heart, little minute bit of thought, that look, all the wadis of this time, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, Zay and others, and this has happened to me. Such a small thought, that oh, this has happened with me. When this thought came, and he's standing in the rawda, and then he lied down straight away. And such a big status he had. Look here. That we fall into darkness or deception on a minute point. A small point. If someone says, that do this, for example. If a sheikh says, that do this duty. And then he thinks, I've got the duty. I've been given the responsibility. And everyone else is below in me. I am better than everybody, he thinks. He's got the high grade. But he cannot progress on the journey. That person can never succeed who considers that he's special or selected. And standing at the rawda, he started to screech, Hazrat Ahmad Rafa'i. And it was difficult to take him away from the rawda Mubarakah. People couldn't understand that Subhanallah, he had the blessedness of Rasulullah's blessed hand came out from the rawda for Ahmad Rafa'i. And look at the status, he must be a great wali. Why is he crying? Why is he screaming? And his situation became that in his heart, due to the blessed hand coming out and he had the ziyarah, he thought in his heart for a split second, that look, I've given me this special status. And he went out, took his kameez off, and he lay down. He said, whoever hits me with the shoe, tread on me. Whoever steps on me, this is the hukam I give, that do this so I can humble myself, that I need to kill my nafs, my desires. So this is haqiqah, the reality, that this journey that we're traveling on, this path that we're traveling on, this is the reality that we're treading, that we're traveling. So it's not just this, that we think it's a minor thing, oh it's not important. No, we must try. We must try that Allah Ta'ala, please make us pure and clean. Many, many thousands of things come to us. Sometimes you get a special status due to Quran, or due to ilm, or due to tasawwuf, or due to another path. You get the walayat, somebody's a ghawth, or a kutub, or an abdal. And our hal, the condition of our hearts is such that, look at those people, they have humbled and lowered their hearts. And this is what is mentioned, that the person who bows and humbles and lowers himself in humbleness, sincerity, then he becomes great and lofty in the dunya. And he's not worried about recognition, but in the eyes of people he's elevated. He lowers himself, he doesn't want to be known, he doesn't even think he's better than others. What a beautiful heart that is made. So this is what is the first feeling and condition of the heart? That person who develops a condition in his heart and a feeling and recognition, that why do I think I'm better than others? Other people are praising him and he says, no, I'm nothing, please. And he's sincere in this feeling. What a beautiful condition. What a beautiful heart. So the mutakabbir heart is very dark and rusty and black, and is expanded with the rust. Just like Allah says, the cheeks are wide open and the mouth is open and he's proud. The same way the heart is black and full of the darkness. So we have to try and make effort on our hearts. We have to pay attention that Allah Ta'ala gives different rutubas to people, different status and ranks and levels and personalities. And I said, whatever quality you have of the world in the dunya and the akhirah, if Allah Ta'ala has given you, for example, quality that you're a very good driver, this is a good quality, you're a good driver, or you have got bodybuilding qualities and you've made a good body, so you've got different qualities or conditions. But you shouldn't think in your heart, I'm better than other people, I'm stronger, more skilled, oh I can race, I can run, and a person gets a cold, and then where are you going to run after that if your body was fit? So if you think you're a good driver, or you're a good athlete, or you've got a good body, and for other examples, never consider yourself as superior. So maraqaba we do in the heart is the ruh, the spirit of tasawwuf, that the heart, if it's enveloped in darkness, the Naqshbandi silsila, the teaching of the Naqshbandi path, it teaches this remembrance of Allah. And there are 8 or 9 proverbs within Naqshbandi silsila, that the person anjuman, khalwati anjuman, this is a proverb, that how should a person in Naqshbandi be? That خلوت الأجمن, that the whole world is sitting and he's amongst them, but he's separate. He's detached. He's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's sitting in a gathering. The whole gathering, there's a wedding, a function, glittering, glow, enjoyment. And that person, he was خلوت الأجمن. That this is the enjoyment, that within the gathering, the person is on his own. He doesn't need to be in darkness in a single room. This is the Naqshbandi silsila, which is your family, because you are in the Naqshbandi chain of teaching, of tazkiyah. And our pious predecessors, they didn't seek, though I have to run away and lock myself in a room in the darkness, then I do tasbih. No, khalwatan arjuman, that he has to live in the world. The dunya is doing its work and he is working on his heart. He's living and working amongst the people, but he's focused on the heart. So this is the control we should have on our heart, my friends. Otherwise we're wasting our time. We should make the heart like a toy, that we can play with that toy, the heart, whenever we want. Do this now, heart. Do this now, oh heart. Now this desire you need to fulfill. You have to eliminate this desire. In other words, put your heart into your hands and control it. Don't let the heart dictate to you what to do. And this is called Naqshbandi. This is called the Naqshbandi. So this is the statement. This is the path and the example of follow. So protection of the eyes. Nigadasht. That always a person focuses on his heart. And there's another statement here. Nazar bar qadam. Here's another call of the Naqshbandis. That look, what a beautiful cure. That the Naqshbandi here, the Naqshbandi, it is not befitting of a Naqshbandi. It is not befitting that his eyes stray. Nazar, always his eyes are looking towards his feet, where his stride is, and he doesn't move from there. He doesn't know who's walking past, who's coming, who's going, who said salam. That's it. Oh, I met you. He doesn't know who he met, who he didn't meet. Barqadam nigadasht, on the feet. And we should practice this, looking down. Don't raise your eyes. Look them, keep your eyesight towards the feet. So then how will you do zina of the eyes and look towards beauty? Many people say, I gave salam to you, didn't give the answer. And they have a doubt because he's used to putting his eyes, his gaze down towards his feet where he's walking at the ground. Keep the eyes low, lower the gaze towards the ground. So brothers, Naqshbandi brothers, we need to protect the heart in the same way, nigadasht. We need to preserve that very great statement, nigadasht, to secure the heart, to protect the heart. Now how do we protect the heart? Will you sleep all night? You'll be awake, isn't it? If your heart is about to be stolen, maybe the thief will come, the bandit will come. So you stay awake. The security officer who protects a site or a building, does he sleep during the night? No. He's got a duty. The police officer, I've got to secure the building. He's awake, he's alert. Is somebody going to come into the building and do some arson attacks, etc.? So our heart, which is the biggest asset, we must protect and preserve the heart. We must secure our heart. We may need to become the security guard for our own hearts. And Allah says that what we need to do is make sure that nothing from outside the heart penetrates and permeates into the heart. We need to be alert that how dare anything, a sin, enter into the heart, because death can come at any time. And such a sin that if it's equivalent to the dharra, the particle's weight, kibr. If we've got pride and arrogance, equivalent to the particle's weight in the heart, we won't get Jannah and we will get the hal that I mentioned earlier. So if we don't secure our heart, if we don't preserve our heart, if we aren't security guards with the heart, if we see that kibr is coming to the heart, then straight away go towards the cure. That I'm alive, I'm still alive, I need to go to a person and say to him that I was proud against you, arrogant against you, forgive me. And do this is a powerful solution. If you have a thought negative in your heart, then you go to that person and you plead, put your hands together, please. And he says, I didn't do nothing to you. What do you do? He says, no, please, I thought bad against you. I had evil thoughts against you, negative thoughts against you, and I was wrong. Please forgive me. So will your kibr then not evaporate? It will disappear. It will disappear when you approach the person who was your victim of your heart's thoughts. So this is the beautiful dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah that we do. It's a cure, isn't it, for these things. It gives taqwa. An improvement. So what is it now? We don't do dhikr and we don't want to strive and make effort. We should sit down. We with passion say, I want to go to the wali of Allah and become bayah. This is a very big idea that Allah Ta'ala instills into a person's mind. Where does the person go? The biggest gift for a person is that when Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala sends his human being servant towards the wali, the company of the wali of Allah. Go and do tawbah at the hand of the wali. This is a hadith that where a person, if for a person the door of dhikr opens, then he has got the door, the route to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a great line, my friends, going to a wali of Allah. We think it's a drama and a game. Don't consider this insignificant and a minor thing. It's not a small thing. So how do we do it? So the greatest gift of Allah is to send a human being to the company of the wali of Allah. This is the greatest gift. We thought, oh, we've reached there to the wali and that's it, now I'm successful and I'll be forgiven in the hereafter. No. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us here to this base. Now we need to work, strive, make effort. Yes, mahna. We have to do mahnat. Allah Ta'ala has given us an opportunity. Allah Ta'ala has given us a great chance to go to the highest grade of Jannah, to leave the sins, to make a good life, to learn good deeds, to make a good condition and to sparkle the heart and to attain ma'rifah of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has given us a great opportunity and opened the door for us. And if we look back, we will see the darkness of the world. And we don't even know in the darkness of the dunya that we have to go to the pious company. How do we know that where we are going? But Allah Ta'ala selects one. Allah Ta'ala made a draw, and in the draw your name came out. Subhanallah, you know, like you have the draw that's selected and the name is pulled out of the hat. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala selected a person from the whole makhluk, from all the people of Bolton. Allah Ta'ala pulled the names out of the draw and your names came out. Allah Ta'ala didn't look, who's this, which is this person. Allah Ta'ala says, Qurra. Allah Ta'ala, Quran Dazi, the draw was made. Yes, metaphorically Allah says, Go towards this person, become Naqshbandi. And if we look back, we see dunya, darkness, somebody laughs at us. Let them laugh at us. Let them say what they want. But this is the reality. So if we have this niyyah, this intention and we reach to the guidance and the path opens up and the thought comes into my heart, I want to go to this friend of Allah, I was not good before, then alhamdulillah, this is also good fortune if the wali of Allah accepts the approach of the student. This is the nikah spiritual. You have the physical nikah, the husband and the wife, and this is the spiritual nikah where a student seeks a teacher, a wali of Allah, and he says, please can you accept me as a student, and the teacher says, I accept you. Then this is a great achievement. A wali of Allah was asked, how much life do you have? He said, my life started the day I became bayah with my teacher. Subhanallah, this is how much people appreciate. They never considered the life before that as a life. The previous life he never considered as a life. He said that that was a waste of time. Seconds passed, years passed. But my life started. I was born the day I did bayah with my sheikh. And definitely he would have started a life schedule at that time. All the previous issues would have disappeared and be wiped away by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eliminated. You start a new life, like a new slate. Wipe the slate clean. And because he's met the teacher, and what is the right? He looks right, he sees right, left, left, forward is forward, backwards is backwards. He fulfills the haqq, and whatever was wrong, whatever Allah says is halal, we follow. Whatever is haram is haram. If Allah says go right, go right. If Allah says go left, left, forward, backwards, we have to follow. It's not in our control now. That's when the hearts are made. That's when the hearts are made. And we should have yaqeen that the decision that is being made is bi-ithnillah, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I'm being stopped for from doing, Allah ta'ala is saying, refrain from this, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't matter, don't worry about loss. He says, Allah is saving me from a massive loss. From which loss? I gave you an example here. That one particle's weight of kibar, the person will lose out from Jannah, paradise, and he will get the punishment of hellfire thereafter. Tell me, are we not saving ourselves from this? We have the cure. We have the cure, we have the remedy, we have the solution, we have the formula, we hear this regularly, we sit down, we hear the words. So anyway, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand these points, that this thought crossed my heart and mind, that kibr, arrogance and pride is a big sin. The hadith came to my mind, which I presented to you, because there's no limit to this one dharra, one particle's weight, speck of dust, atom's weight is nothing. So brothers, I need to try it, you need to try it, that we have to live our life, we have to pass through different stages and conditions in our life. Sometimes we'll be high, sometimes we'll be on a high rank, personality, worldly progression, and sometimes we'll be low. But remember one thing, that what should we be? We should be ajiz and mutawaza. We should be sincere and humble people. Never consider that I am greater due to this, or I'm a great personality, or I've got this and that. We've got nothing. Everything is from Allah. Everything Allah gives and can take. So always do nigah, dash of the heart. Always analyze and secure the heart. Observe the heart visibly. That may this not happen to my heart, may this not come to my heart, may this evil thing not come to my heart, and keep looking after that. And whenever you have bad thoughts, then cure the bad thought. That this is the cure for this sin, speak to your sheikh, your teacher, that I've got a bad thought, how shall I cross this bridge, how shall I solve this, and the formula that's been given. Remember, when you go to ask, then when you get given the advice, then do amalun. Someone says to me, for example, my eyesight, my eyes stray, and when I give the cure, they don't take the cure. If I give as a cure that your gaze is very bad, you keep looking, then if I say stand for 3 days with your hands over your eyes, then you'll have to sit for 3 days. So will you follow the formula and the solution? So as soon as you get the solution, so when you go to a doctor, you say to the doctor, I've got a stomachache. Will he give you a sweet pill as something nice for you, so you suck it and you enjoy it? You look at your mouth, he'll observe you, say, what kind of tablet are you asking for? Take from me, I've got such an injection, and I'm going to apply that injection into your hip. And that's how you should be prepared to take whatever comes from the teacher. The doctor says, I'm going to cure your problem, but you have to do it my way, my prescription and my plan. So if a person follows that plan of what the teacher is saying, then he will be saved from the akhirah. So when the person's prepared mentally and spiritually, that's when he attains success. Otherwise, the rest is just time is passing. Whatever we're doing every day. But may Allah Ta'ala be merciful to us that we understand the reality. So we need to nigadash and secure and observe and analyze the heart with caution. And especially kibar, we need to be safe. We need to protect ourselves from kibar and not commit pride and haughtiness and arrogance. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Ameen.